Ah, there you are. A very good morning to you. How are you? Hope you're all right. We're all right now. Yeah, sorry about last week, but some bugs and things going around. Just wasn't feeling up to it on Saturday morning last week. But here we are this week. And a very good morning to you. Welcome along to the Bromley Saturday Morning Get Together. And if you'd wish to communicate with us, you can. BromleyRadio@gmail.com. We also have, yes, I'm pleased to say, our Facebook group page. That's up and running. Yes, that's right. The Bromley Radio Facebook group page. So make your presence felt on there as well. And of course, we are on the platform formerly known as Twitter. Yes, we're on X, formerly known as Twitter. And that is at Bromley Radio 1. You can reach out to us using those methods, and once we've fired up the phone line, then you can reach out to us on there as well. And what do we have coming up today? Well, we've got the number one songs. Yes, we like to do that. From 60, 50, 40 and 30 years ago. And we have an interview with somebody with an international flavour. And that'll be coming up. Ooh, the bottom of the hour here. All right, let's get on with it, why don't we? We'll be right back.
to BromleyRadio at gmail.com or Twitter, I mean X, at BromleyRadio1.
Heaven, I've got memories of that. Drunkenly dancing around with the sleeves of my jacket rolled up as I danced around to that on some discotheque floor in some foreign land somewhere or other. And getting us going this morning, Billy Ocean. Are you ready? Well, are you? Well, it's Saturday, so you've got quite a while to get ready, haven't you? It's Kirsty McCall and New England. On the Saturday morning get-together. Good morning. I was 21 years when Kirsty McCall, A New England on Bromley Radio. I think we need one of those, don't we? Who knows? This year we might get one. Here is a review of last year here at Bromley Radio. 2023 was welcomed in on the stroke of midnight, December the 31st, 2023. And before we knew it, it was January the 3rd. We ticked off the days until the 17th and then went on ticking them off until the end of the month. Imagine our surprise when February appeared, out of nowhere. And the time flew past for us here at Bromley Radio. I have no doubt, like us, most of you noticed the change when February turned into March. A month packed full of days from start to finish. As we expected, the next month to arrive was April, which promised to be a bit longer than February had been. However, May turned out to be a bit longer still, which should have come as no surprise. Friends and relations no doubt all shared our experience on June the 1st when a brand new month began. Like most of you, we find it hard to describe our feelings on those occasions. June the 7th dawned bright and early, a trend that was to continue for the rest of the month. We were ready and waiting for July when it put in its annual appearance and we all thought it might as well be summer. Well, as we're running a bit low on time, there's only time to give a brief mention to August and September. More about them later. But towards the end of the year, we spent time with October again, and not for the first time. Shortly before October the 31st, we were delighted to hear November was on its way. It arrived safely. We rounded off the year nicely with a full traditional 31-day December. Who knows what next year will bring? But one thing's for sure, Bromley Radio will be here for you in 24.
I don't know why I like it. I just do.
I
Whitney Houston and So Emotional. All right. I don't think like that. All right. Bit of Genesis now, and then we'll have some weather for Bromley. Sorry to trouble you. I just wanted to make you aware about what's been happening to the grass and open spaces here in Bromley recently. It's down to a character called Jack Frost. Now, Jack mainly attacks in the early hours of the morning. You wake up to find your grass frightened stiff and looking as white as a ghost. We've had several of these attacks recently here in the borough of Bromley as a result of an attack from this character called Jack Frost. Be aware. Thank you for listening and have a good rest of the day. And here's a clue to the interview we're about to play here on Bromley Radio. Coming up after Alphaville.
Winter city sights, crystal bits of snow.
Alphaville and Big in Japan. Which leads us on quite nicely to an interview we did earlier with a chap called Craig. And here's Craig to tell you more.
Hi there, my name is Craig Whitney and I'm working with an organisation called CHE Intercultural Exchange, and we specialise in offering overseas visits to the UK for Japanese students and young people wishing to come over to the UK to experience just that. Our organisation has been running for, more than 20 years now, and we've got a local group coordinator that's based down in the Orpington and Bromley area, and basically we want to open this up to as many people as possible to have the opportunity to welcome students into their home as a homestay situation.
That's very good. I presume if somebody's got a spare room, shall we say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. If somebody happens to have a spare room in their home and they're thinking to, obviously it supplements your income slightly because we do offer payment and donations for people that are offering to open up their home to welcome these students in. It's a great opportunity for them to not just earn a bit out of that room, but to experience a Japanese visitor sort of visiting their home as well. I think lots of people, you know, that may have children that have left and gone to university or even people with children in the house as well. It's a really great opportunity for them to meet Japanese students to come over here, and if they want to practice their Japanese, if they speak any Japanese, they can practice it with them as well.
That's exactly, you've actually reached what the two of the questions I was going to ask now, that people might be thinking, language. So would the hosts be required to know any Japanese? And secondly, would they be expected to provide any Japanese cuisine?
no, on both counts, actually, because they're coming out to the UK just to be welcomed as one of the family. What I will add, actually, is if people are just looking to earn a bit of money by renting a room out or doing Airbnb, I would advise them to carry on doing that, because this is not what this is. This is more someone welcoming a visitor to their home as part of the family. So, they'd have dinner with them. It doesn't have to be Japanese food at all. In fact, the more English it is, the better, because that's what they're coming over here to experience.
Yes.
If there is such a thing as English food now, it's probably pizza.
Exactly. Or Indian food, yes, indeed.
Exactly.
You're quite right, because as an observation, including myself, I just did it there, us Brits, we have a slight habit of patronising people from other nationalities, don't we?
Exactly. That's right. But, I mean, It's someone that can be welcoming, someone that's willing to interact with them, because these students coming over, they're not university age or anything like that. They're quite young. It's age between 12 to 17, the students coming over.
Oh, well, as young as 12. So I was expecting at least, so you're saying effectively teenagers, but perhaps 12 as well. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. On the younger range of things, generally the ages are around about 14, 15, 16, but some of our youngest ones do come out at age 12 as well. Obviously, linked with all of this and, looking after children, there would, of course, be, if people are interested and want to contact us, there'd be a visit from our local group coordinator, visit your home, chat to you in a bit more depth about it, talk about any safeguarding things, such as DBS checks and things like that, which, of course, are important.
Yes.
The whole process is essentially quite painless, and if all those sort of boxes are ticked in that respect, then of course you can start welcoming students. And we do actually have a group that's going to be coming out at the end of March this year as well, if anyone is interested.
And would the host be host one student, or could it be two students? What would the
it can be the maximum you can host, really, under our sort of regulations, are three students in a home. And the reason we say that, people may have space for more. We want to give them as individualised experience as possible, So if there's more than three, that's going to sort of dilute that experience a bit for them. They want to be able to chat, with their host family and for everyone to remember their name.
Yes.
So I think three students in a household is ample, really. But if you've only got space for two or even one, that would be fine as well.
Yes.
If it was one student, for example, it'd probably be one of the older students coming out on a course, you know, maybe 15, 16 or something like that.
Yes.
But yeah, that's generally the pattern.
And these students, are they from all over Japan or just, say, Osaka or Tokyo?
We're a subsidiary of a larger organisation in Japan that's got offices all over, so they could literally be from all over.
Yes.
So the particular group coming out at the end of March, I believe this group is, they're all from Tokyo, so they're from the Tokyo metropolitan area. So yeah, they'll be a bit more streetwise maybe than some of the ones that come from the more country areas of Japan.
Yes, indeed. Yes, but still wanting to experience the British culture, and of course, and obviously, they're hoping to improve their English, but also experience the British culture as well. And that's right. I would suggest with Japanese students, knowing what their potential parents were like when they were visiting, or even as business people here in the UK, in London in particular, and I'm speaking from my previous experience as a London taxi driver, lovely, lovely people.
They really are.
Yes.
There are some organisations that bring perhaps French or Spanish or Italian students over there. Very different again, you know, very, very confident, and they might go out and disappear out all night, and you're very worried because they've gone to the pub or something. You don't get any of that with these Japanese students. They really, really want to spend time with the families. They're so polite. The only thing, sometimes they can be a bit shy, you know, they're not hiding in their room, and you've got to encourage them to come out and say, you know, come and join us, come into the living room, sit down, don't worry, you don't have to be polite, so polite.
Yes.
But that's the only thing sometimes you get, is that families are worried that, are we doing the right thing? Because they're a bit quiet and they're sort of staying in their room. And it's only because they are really polite. And they even, I mean, one family we had not so long ago, they all had dinner, and then the student disappeared out, and they thought, must have gone to his room. He'd gone out and done all the washing up.
No. So, without even being asked or prodded in that direction. Wow.
That's right. And they had a dishwasher as well, she laughed, because he didn't have to do it anyway. But they said, don't do that again, you know, just come and sit down with us. So they are lovely, lovely kids to host.
Another question. Is it a couple that were expected to host, or would a single person, could they be eligible to be a host?
Well, I mean, couples, ideal, I guess, that's the ideal. People with families, with children, is great because they can interact with children of their own age as well. But even people without children, that's absolutely fine. Perhaps, you know, a retired couple or something.
Yes.
Single people can host as well. Again, we would chat with them. Our group coordinator would come and chat about that. We often find it's easier for single, unfortunately, it sounds a bit sexist really, but single ladies to host, it never really presents a problem. When it's single men, sometimes there's some questions to follow on from that. So but that would be a conversation that they could have with our group coordinator, dependent on
I can see that. Now, all right, so let's presume single lady. Would the single lady, would she be expected to stay at home all the time?
No, the students follow quite a busy program, so they'll be out in the morning and again, through discussing with our group coordinator where the local study centre would be, they'd make sure that they get to that study centre in the morning. It'll be quite local, because it's all in Bromley or Orpington, and they follow quite a busy programme with us. They'd have English lessons in the morning, they'd go out in the afternoon for what we call cultural activities, which could be going, you know, into London, it could be visiting a museum, like the British Museum or something like that, and at the end of the day they'll come back, you know, about 6 o'clock, and then they spend the evening with the host family and have dinner with the host family. So they've really got quite a packed schedule, so you don't have to be at home at all during the day. You know, you can have just a regular job and come home in the evening, and then make sure that you're there when they come back, and you can have dinner with them and everything. So the other aspect is weekends as well. So on a weekend, obviously that's when I imagine most people are around, and that's a great opportunity then for the student to spend a bit more quality time with the host family, especially if they've got kids, and doing things with them, or perhaps going out locally with them or something like that. So yeah, you don't have to stay at home all the time, and you don't even on weekends have to take them out to lots of places, because they're so busy during the week doing that with us.
Right. So they're probably glad of the rest.
To be honest, just sort of, I don't know, every family's different, but even just having a nice roast dinner on a Sunday or something, that's for them. That's brilliant, because they've probably never had a roast dinner, so, yes. You know, or whatever sort of food that you might eat at home. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, of course, this all improves Anglo-Japanese relations.
Well, definitely, yeah. I think the work we do in, you know, the Cultural Homestays, our organisation, is, it goes towards that. The more opportunities Japanese, you know, young Japanese people get to come over and experience our culture, the more understanding that promotes, and the same the other way around as well.
Yes.
You've got people that have had, you know, hosted students, they've stayed in contact with them for years and right up until adulthood, and they've been invited to their weddings in Japan and things. You know, these things.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. You know. Yeah, that's wonderful.
It's a lovely thing, so,
indeed, yeah, indeed. No, that is good, and I'm very much one of life's diplomats and one of life's ambassadors, shall we say. So, no, that all bodes well. And, of course, from little acorns, who knows, could lead to some massive trade deal between Japan and the UK.
Exactly that. It all goes towards, you know, a better understanding with each other. I think we
need
more of that these days.
Indeed. We absolutely do. Yes, indeed. And then we find out, actually, as human beings, we've got a lot more in common with each other than we thought.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly that, yeah. It breaks down a lot of barriers. So, you know, I've been working for CHE now for 18 years. And when I joined CHE, the plan was just to work with them for 3 years. And, of course, here I am 18 years later.
Wow.
Just because I get so much from it.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a great job.
And have you visited Japan?
I have, yeah. I used to live in Japan, actually, a while ago now.
Very good.
My wife is Japanese as well, so...
Yes.
That's where the link is. But yeah, I lived out there for about 4 years in Japan. And like I say, you get such an understanding of living overseas or spending some time over there, same as these Japanese students are going to do, that, it's something that changes your life. You know?
So. Yes, and of course, I mean, for starters, as somebody who's not Japanese, but just looking at their alphabet, for example, that takes some time to learn, I presume.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they've got three different scripts, and I know a couple of them, which is kind of phonetic, you know, like that one. But those Chinese-style characters, there's hundreds, thousands. You can never learn it all. So
really? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. See, I've learned something there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you speak the language?
I do speak passable Japanese, I guess, but I'm probably not the best judge of that. But yeah, I do speak some Japanese. But when these students are over, as I say, we try to immerse them in English, you know, speak English to them.
Yes,
but it is useful, obviously, if they do struggle, I can always say a few Japanese words to help them.
Yes, yeah. And of course, no doubt they'll have a phone or a tablet in their hand, which has got, you know, able to translate for them straight away.
Exactly. Yeah, they can do it all now. It's so quick and easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right then, Craig. Well, thank you ever so much for speaking to us here on Bromley Radio.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on the show as well. And my website.
Yes, we are going to. So tell us where we can find you, please.
Yes, our website is www.culturalhomestay.org. And if you look on there, you can get some information about us and what we do, our organisation, and ways to contact us as well. We do have a number as well, if that's okay.
Yes, please, please do, of course.
It's 0208 882 9716. And please do give us a call or check out our website if it interests you. You know, even if you've just got questions, just email us or contact us, and we can get our local group coordinator to have a chat with you. And if you think it's something you'd like to do, probably come and visit and have a bit more of a chat and get you signed up. So I do encourage people to do it. It's the end of March. We've got a group coming, and
that's what you're aiming for. Yeah. Okay then. Well, thanks again for speaking with us today, and all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Hero.
And now on Bromley Radio, it's that time on the Saturday morning get together here where we listen back to the number one songs this week in 1964, 74, 84 and 1994. And again, number one this week, and I'm very proud and privileged to play this one. It's the Dave Clark Five, Glad All Over. Dave Clark Five and Glad All Over, number one this week back in 1964, and number one back in 1974 was this.
There ain't no way I'm gonna let you out of my sight.
Mud and Tiger Feet, one of the first records I remember buying on 7-inch vinyl. And yes, I still have it today. Thank God I've still got a lot of my vinyl albums as well. About a third of the price they are today after they've been re-released in the shops. All right, so what was the number one this week in 1984? Well, it was just after Christmas. It was released in 1983, December. However, it was number one this week in 1984.
I light a candle to our love. In love our problems disappear. But all in all, we soon discover that one and one is all we long to hear. Till the war is won, then will the work be done. Help them to learn songs of joy instead of burn, baby burn. Let us show them how to play the pipes of peace.
Play the pipes of peace.
Thank you.
Paul McCartney and Pipes of Peace. Loved the video to that when that was out back there on Top of the Pops back in 1984. I would refer to it as Pipes of Pot, because didn't Paul McCartney get arrested for possession of cannabis? Number one this week in 1994 was this one.
You can walk my path, you can wear my shoes, learn to talk like me, and be an angel too. But maybe you ain't never gonna feel this way. You ain't never gonna know me. But I know you. I'm singing in our veins. I can only get better. Can only get better. If we see it through, that means me and I mean you too. So teach me not to think. Can only get better. Can only get, can only get. Take it all from me, you know. I know that things can only get better.
Thought 30 years later we'd be saying, well, things can only get better here in 2024. Dream and Things Can Only Get Better, number one this week in 1994. Now, having heard our interview there with Craig talking about placement of Japanese students in homes here at the end of March, we thought we'd play the number one song according to the Billboard International Hot 100 charts, the number one song in Japan this week.
ラスメディア知りてその秘密ミステリアス抜けてるとこさえ彼女のエリア完璧で嘘つきな君は天才的なアイドル様今日何食べた好きな本は遊びに行くならどこに行くの何も食べてないそれは内緒何を聞かれてものらりくらりそう淡々とだけどさんさんと味噌で見えない秘密は蜜の味あれもないないないこれもないないない好きなタイプは相手はさ答えて誰かを好きになることなんて私わからなくてさ嘘か本当か知り得ないそんな言葉にまた一人落ちるまた好きにさせる誰も我々は花からおまけですお星様の引き立て役 B です全てがあの子のおかげなわけないしょろくさい妬み嫉妬なんてないわけがないこれはネタじゃないからこそ許せない完璧じゃない君じゃ許せない自分も許せない誰よりも強い君以外は認めない誰もが信じあがめてるまさに最強で無敵のアイドル弱点なんて見当たらない一番帽子をやっ弱いところって見せちゃダメダメ知りたくないとこは見せずに唯一無二じゃなくちゃいやいやそれこそ本物の愛得意の笑顔で沸かすメディア隠しきるこの秘密だけは愛してるって嘘で積むキャリアこれこそ私なりの愛だ流れる汗も綺麗なことも誰かのことを愛したこともないそんな私の嘘がいつか本当になること信じてるいつかきっと全部手に入れる私はそう欲張りなアイドルと知りたいでみんなのことちゃんと愛したいから今日も
The number one song in Japan this week that's Yosabi and Idol. Sounds like, oh, I don't know, one of those Eurovision Song Contest songs, doesn't it, from some of the more enthusiastic contestants there. Have yourself a good one. We're back next week with the Saturday morning get-together, which you can hear Saturday mornings live at 10 a.m. And obviously, if you're listening to this as a podcast, thank you very much for downloading. Till the next time, ta-ra.